Okay. How's everybody doing? We've got just a little bit. I apologize again for keeping y'all over 4 hours last week. Man, weren't you glad you weren't here? Where were you? Yeah. But I went way over, and I got home, and Claudia said, "Didn't you notice that you were getting hoarse?" And I said, "You know, as a matter of fact, I really did notice I was getting hoarse, but it still didn't click up here." I said, "God was still talking," and "I just kept talking as long as he was." So this time, hopefully, I'm going to get us out a little early tonight. Yeah, I was on tithing. So anyhow, I guess I had a lot to say. This will be the last time that we talk about tithing or giving tonight. And next week we'll start a total new subject. One of the things that we were talking about last week was about how tithing is important to God. It's important to us. And how it's a blessing to us when we're faithful to give, God is faithful to bless us with the rest that we have. But tonight we're going to be talking about giving, which is totally different, totally set aside from tithing. Tithing is something he said, what? It's how many percent? 90%? No. 10%. That's right. It's not 90, it's 10. And the rest of it, though, is what? No, the other 90% is what? Yeah, that's what. Mine, use that word. Isn't that right? That's exactly the way we think of the money, that as long as we give Lord his 10%, the other 90 is ours, right? Yeah, no, that's not true. Because it's all his, and he has a plan for even the 90%. How do you figure out what that plan is? Prayer. That's exactly it. He lets you know. But on giving, once you brought your tithe in to God, we're then encouraged to consider and pray about giving. Now, giving is what? When the Bible talks about giving, what is giving? Hard. It's anything above that you give above your tithe. Anything. It could be 50 cents. It could be a dollar. It could be $100. It could be $1,000. It doesn't matter. It's anything above the 10% that God says, this is all I'm asking for. But when you give a gift of more than that, then that's the gift of giving. You know, you could use that same money to help someone that's in the church that's having a hard time. You can see a need and you go, you know, Lord, and the Lord says, he starts speaking to your heart. You feel that inside of you starting to well up, and you see a need and you're going, man, Lord, what is there something I need to do? And then before you know it, he reveals to you what he wants you to do, and you help that person. That could be giving. It could be giving. Could be just something special for the church, or it could just be a special offering that you just decide, you know what, God said I'm supposed to give this, and you just give it for whatever reason. It doesn't have to have. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just when God tells you to do it. You might give a special offering to a missionary or a building program or a roof for the arena. Did I say that out loud, Steve? Did I say it loud enough? I mean, I didn't mean to say it real loud, but... Huh? Yeah, I'm telling you. We were just talking about that this weekend, about how we had to leave our church and go to Robinson County, you know, to the fairgrounds, because we didn't have a roof on there. Maybe we ought to start praying that the Lord would provide us a roof. Anyway, that went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? You might give it to an orphanage or a nonprofit profit organization or to any good work that God lays on your heart to give. Notice that last statement. Anything that God lays on your heart to give, when He directs you to do something, where it becomes hard is when you're in a place in your Christian walk and God says, I want you to help this person, and you're going, I just can't do it. I just don't see where that money's going to... If I do that, then this is going to happen. If I help, if I do this, then I'm going to go without whatever. But God lays it on our heart. And giving is also about worship, too. You know, a lot of times when I give, I feel this blessing come on that the Lord gives me. When I help someone, nobody knows about it but me. And that's the true meaning of giving. And when you give, is you don't let anybody know that you're giving. If you give, help a family or a person that's in need, and then you go around saying, well, how'd your day? Oh, I just got this big blessing today. I was able to help so-and-so and so-and-so, and it was just the greatest feeling in the world. Guess what? You just got all the blessing, the kudos you were going to get. Why does God say give in secret? Why do you think He says that? It's boasting. Yeah, exactly. He wants to bless you even in secret. You don't even know it. Go ahead. All right. It's on your growth. It's on your growth for you. Anything comes off. Anything you make, what you make, you take it off that. When you're obedient to give, when God says, I want you to give something, I want you to help this person, I want you to give money to this organization or to that, there is a blessing that comes that only He can give. And there's no boundaries to what that blessing is. You have no idea what God's blessings can bring. It's absolutely can blow your mind what God can and will do when you're obedient. Now, if you just the type of person that you give, I know people that they're that way. They used to be friends of mine. I used to be with them a lot. They were great friends, but every time they did something for the church, it was just unbelievable. They wanted everybody to know that they provided that. Every single time. And it was, I wanted to say, brother, but you ought to have kept that to yourself, because, I'm not talking about talking to the pastor or talking to one of the elders. I mean, he'd be telling the whole group of the body of believers that. And it was just always kind of, I knew what the scripture said, and it just kind of, man, you give so much, but you really get so little. Just whatever those folks were thinking about you, that's all you got. But God had so much more for you. And when you are obedient, it is that big blessing. Here's a question that He puts on here. It says, I bless the heart of God through my obedience. We should, however, never let our giving take priority over our tithing. What do y'all think about that? How does that pop your bubble? What's he talking about? That's it. Okay. What does God didn't say take your tithe and give it to a charity. God said give your tithe to me because it is mine. See, there is a difference. Now your gift above your tithe, he may instruct you to give to an organization or to a person, but your tithe comes to the church, to him. For what really is tithe for? What is it really for? What is the whole scope of tithing for? To share the gospel all around. To make sure that people hear. That's what it's for. There are a lot of myths about tithing and giving. And you hear them all the time. One of them says that only the rich people who have a lot of money should tithe or give. Y'all ever heard that? I've heard it. Boy, I tell you, you have got it. You remember the widow with the mite? Y'all know what a mite is? I'll show you. I've got one. I'll pass it around. This is a mite. This is what she had. Pass that around and look. Ain't much to it. It's less than a penny to me. I mean, she was so poor that that's all she had. But Jesus said she gave that. And she quietly walked away. A rich man gave a lot of money and was telling everybody about it and showing how much he was making sure everybody could see how much he was bringing to the altar. So making sure that people could see, you know, he was rich. That's right. He said that hers was the biggest blessing. Because why? She gave what she did. She actually gave everything. A widow's mite, that is a great story, but it's not a story. It really happened. It's not just for rich people. In 2 Corinthians 8:2, here Paul is talking, and he says that he talks about the churches in Macedonia here, and he says, they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. Talking about the churches, very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. Means that even though they were poor, they are so feel so much with joy in the blessings that God give them that they gave beyond what they could. Another myth. We should just give when we can and not worry about tithing. Really, the whole church needs to be hearing this. Not just the choir, I should call it. But still, maybe someone will tune in and listen to it on the website or on and be able to hear this, because this is important. We should just give when we can and not worry about tithing. The reference verse is 3:8-2, chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, and it says, "For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem." These folks were poor. They could not afford in their minds to give, but because of the rich blessings that God gave them and the joy that they were receiving, they just gave beyond what they could afford. And God just blessed them more. It's 2 Corinthians 8, 3 through 4. The next myth: if I had more, I could give more. I would give more. Come on. If you're not giving now, God talks about, y'all have heard the story about being responsible for what God gives you, and one guy hid his, you know, the amount of money that God gave him. He put it in the ground. He said it was because, why? He didn't want to lose it. Okay? And another one God gave him, and he invested a little. The next guy he gave some to, he invested it all, and he brought back a giant crop. Which one do you think the Lord blessed the most? The one that gave it all. The one who was not afraid to obey God and obey the Master when he told him, "You're responsible for this. We are responsible for the money that God gives us." So if he tells you to do something and you don't do it, what does that make you? Lord's talking. That thunder. It makes you disobedient when he tells you to do something. Look in Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." If we're faithful to give with what little we have now, God is going to bless you with more. What happens a lot of times is when we think, and this is hard because I thought this way when I was younger, when you think you don't have the money to tithe, test the Lord. Test him. If you don't believe me, look in Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured out into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." The question is, can you outgive God? There is no possible way. All he really asked for is the 10%, and then anything that you want to give above that is up between you and God. But when you really try to outgive God, you are going to be pleasantly surprised. You don't give because you want to get. You give to be obedient. The next one is, if I tithe, I won't have enough to live on. Guess which verse that would be under? Luke 6:38. If I tithe, I won't have enough to live on. Claudia and I have discussed this when we were paying our bills, and we paid our tithe. We really did not have the money to pay our bill. We really didn't. It was not in there, but we paid the tithe. What happened, babe? We got a check in the mail. We got a check in the mail, went out to the mailbox, and we had a check from an insurance company that we couldn't even remember that we had, and it just by chance it was an overpayment, or because we had canceled it, it was money that would do back to us. But it was just by chance it happened that same day that we were faithful to pay our tithe when we couldn't afford it. Now, some people would say, oh, well, that was just chance. Hogwash. You talk about what it did to our faith. Woo! Man, we knew that you cannot outgive God. The last myth, God has not really given me anything that is worth a full tithe. Whew. He hasn't given me anything. How about John 3:16? What has he given us? My goodness, he gave us himself. He gave us our salvation. He died to give us that. But this person says he really hasn't given me anything that deserves a full amount of tithe. There is a lot of stuff out there that people say and people do that would scare you to death. You cringe when you hear it. First question is, how should we tithe and give? It says, first we should give immediately. We should give God his tithe first from the first fruits of our... Okay. Usually they don't. They usually don't. Usually, if they're not going to a church somewhere, if they're usually not giving their tithe, or they're sending it to a TV evangelist, or something like that. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that watch TV every Sunday and give their money on TV. That's right. Wherever church you're a member of, that's where you're supposed to give your tithe, whether you go there or not. That's right. If you don't, why does he say give to out of the first of the of your best fruits? Why does he ask you to do that? It's the best, okay? Why does he say to do it first? Never wait to the end of the month to give your tithe when you get, or don't give him the lifter. Don't ever go to, you get your check and you go, I'm going to pay my bills. And if you don't write that check first, something's going to happen. It may look good on paper, but something's going to break down. You're going to be, I'm telling you, Your lawnmower's going to break. Your washing machine's going to go out. Your dryer's going to hit that. Your microwave is going to blow up. Your hot water heater's going to start leaking and blow out the ceiling in your house. Yeah. You're always behind. You always feel like you're behind the eight ball when you do that. Always give him his first. Make sure that he gets his. And what's the promise behind that? He will bless you. What is that? One of the blessings, I can tell you what it is. He'll make that 90% go further than you ever would believe. Especially when you don't have the money, when you're not a wealthy person. Even if you are wealthy, it doesn't matter. But even when you're just getting by the skin of your teeth, if you will give God his first, he will make sure that the rest of that, it's almost like he's going to get it. It's no difference. It's the same ratio. It doesn't. If you're rich and you have money, it doesn't automatically, not hurt you. It doesn't go down by the amount of money that you have. 10% is 10% to everybody. It says here that tithing and giving is about worship and obedience, and we do both in faith. Second, we should give regularly. Some like to wait and give one big check at the end of the quarter or the year. The better solution is to tithe each time you get paid. That waiting. People say, well, I'm going to hold this money back for the Lord. And what happens? Things are going to happen. And then you automatically go, oh, well, I don't really have the money. I'm either got to charge it or I got to use the Lord's money. Oh, well, I'll pay the Lord back. Then it gets later on and you get your next paycheck and, oh, well, I'm going to pay the Lord back. And then, I can't afford it this month because I got this bill that comes this time. It's a never-ending vicious circle. If you get paid weekly, tithe each Sunday. He said if you get paid bi-monthly, then tithe on the following Sunday right after you get it is when it's easiest. If you're going to know you're going to miss due to a vacation or a business trip, mail it or drop it at the church office. Pretty important. Why would you want to withhold your worship through tithing and giving for a week or a month? Have you ever heard anybody say, I just don't approve what's going on there at that church, and I'm just not going to give them my money. I'm going to give it to somebody else. I've heard those words come into my head from a rich man. A guy that I love dearly. And I just thought, how can those words be coming out of your mouth? I just don't like what they're doing now. That preacher, I'm mad. Did you hear what he said? Or someone said something to that person that got him mad. Well, I just won't give my tithe. Who are they hurting? Does God really need our money? No, he don't. So the giving of our tithe is what? It's for our sake. It makes us part of sharing the gospel to the world. Part of his plan for us and plan for the church. If you don't tithe regularly, you probably and most likely will not tithe at all. That's exactly right. That's right. What was the three things that you can do with money? You can spend it, save it, or give it. It's only three things you can do to it. You can't do anything else with it. Those are the three things. And those three things also, remember in the first session I told you, the order in which you do it tells you whether you're doing it God's way or not. Because usually that's what we do, is we spend it first, we pay our bills, buy what we want, and then we say, put a little bit to save, and then we give God the leftovers, if there's any left. That's how we do it. God's plan, on the other hand, for His money is exactly the opposite. When we use this plan, there's always enough. God's plan works like this. First, you give your money away through tithing and giving. Next, you should save your money. Then you wisely spend what is left. That's crazy, isn't it? That's just, I mean, does it even sound right? The wise part's crazy. I mean, there's people that say, that's insane. That's the stupidest thing I have ever heard. Give God His money first and then save money? Well, how's the rest of this stuff going to be done? Who's going to pay my apartment rent? Who's going to pay for my truck? It really does work. When you follow God's plan, you always have enough to give, save, and spend. Granted, I'm telling you, a lot of you had to adjust your spending some, I guess. But it's better than adjusting your giving and your savings. You know, try managing God's money in God's way for 3 months and see what happens. 3 months. The two things... I said you can either spend it, save it, or give it away. The first two things are earthly. They will only last for a short while. If you spend it or save it. Why does it say that? Why is it just for a short while? How long are you here? It don't matter how much money you accumulate. It doesn't matter how much you've got in. You can have millions, millions upon millions of dollars in the bank. You are just as dead as the guy that goes dead with nothing in his pocket. Money does not have a spirit, no. But the last one, when you give it away, when God tells you to do it, when you tithe, that's eternal. You have to have a total different mindset when you look at your finances when you do this. When you try to keep a proper balance and everything with your money, the secret is making sure you're doing all the three things, those three things, the way God intended it to be done, instead of the way we've always done it or our way. When we give, save, and spend God's money in a balanced and biblical way, we're taught in the Bible money becomes a blessing not only to ourselves, but to everybody else. When we're not faithful in giving, this is going to stomp some toes here if you're not a tither and a giver. When you're not faithful to give, you're dishonoring God. Man. You're actually keeping what? His. So what? Just don't keep what is his. I mean, if you don't want to give, that's one thing. But for goodness sake, at least tithe, because you're withholding something that belongs to God. He gives you the other 90%. Now, you can say, well, I'm just, as long as I give God 10, you know, and I'm not going to give anything. But if you give him 10, he's still going to bless you, okay? But if you don't give him 10, you don't have his blessing on any of it. And you may lose it all. You may not have a paycheck. You may not have a life. God protects your finances when you give faithfully. By giving God the first portion of your income, it shows that He has first place in your life. And that it all belongs to who? It all belongs to Him. You don't get God's blessing. I've done that. And I suffered for it dearly. My family suffered for it dearly because we were always in financial trouble all the time. When you start back tithing, it almost is instantaneous. The blessings start flowing again. God is not vengeful. He's not just sitting there going, you know, I want it, and I want it now. You give it to me. He asked for it. This is what pleases me. If you want to please me, give me the first 10%. What did they do in the Old Testament? They give the first what? Of their crop or their sheep. They didn't go out and look, and they had their steers out there or their cows or their bulls. And they didn't go out there and look and go, huh, let's see. That one right there is limping. Let's give that one to God. I'm not gonna lose anything. I might have to put him down anyway. Just go ahead and give that to God. Now, what did you say? One that's got mange and all the hairs coming off of that critter. No. He comes up with some good ones. But just think about it. They always give the spotless lamb, the one that didn't have any spots on it, a pure white lamb is what they sacrificed. Pure. Everything had to be the best, not, and it was right off the bat. I mean, speaking about the rain, here it comes. I know it's been talking about it all day long. It's talking about hail and all kind of stuff and tornadoes. And this is pretty much the end of tonight's lesson. Yeah. The West blew up. That's right. So, what does God's principle say about tithing and giving? Let's just go over it real quick. First off, the first 10% goes to God. Okay? This is all He asked for. And the other 90% belongs to you. To do with whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, right? No. It's all God's. So what do you do with the other 90%? You ask God to reveal to you what He wants. First you give your tithe, then you save, and then you pay your bills. And whatever else you want. Why is that wise? It's hard. You bet it's hard. It's not talking about, but Dave Ramsey, I talked about him last week. What does he say about saving money? First, he tells you to get out of debt. Why get out of debt? It is a sucker that just sucks all the life out of you. Debt. Oh, I hate that word. Debt. It just drains you for everything. It grows, huh? It does. It enslaves you. And debt increases. Even when you're paying it off, sometimes it just, you pay the minimum, it's like that, it just never goes away. That's why God says, don't get into debt. If you, Dave Ramsey will tell you that if you want something, then you save up for it. Do without it. And buy used. Don't go buy a new one. Don't go buy a new truck. Drive it off the lot. And what happens when you buy a new one? 20% right off the bat goes off the price of that truck. If you turned around, drove out the parking lot, and turned right back around and drove back in, sold it, you just lost 20% if you tried to sell it back. And you ain't got 1 mile. You don't even have 1 mile on it. You've lost 20% of what it's worth. Buy used. I told you about that 19 kids and counting, how that family, their number one thing, they serve the Lord, they tithe, they give, and they do what? They buy used. Why? Why? You can buy something that's used that's just as good as new. It works just as good, but it costs less than half. What do you do with the rest of the money? Whatever God tells you to do with it. Whatever you save. That's how you save money. And you save for what kind of a day? A rainy day when things go wrong. When you think things are going wrong and you need that little extra cushion, something happens. That's what the saving is for. It's to help you when you need it. Then you don't have to go to someone and do what? Borrow money to get, that's right. Borrow money. It's different if you go borrow money and you've got enough money to pay it off. Total different thing. But it's, you do that for a reason. Or you can pay it off quick. Any other questions? Well. Yeah. It's just that it is sacrificial. You have to give up. When you sacrifice something, you have to give up something else. Okay? You already had that earmarked for something else. That's what sacrificial giving is when you look at it and you go, I had this money set aside for a brand new four-wheeler or my new fishing boat. I've been saving for that boat for years. And I just about have it. And then now you're asking me to do what? Give it away. That's what sacrificial giving is. Not that the Lord is asking that guy to give up his boat or to give up the other things. It's whatever he asks you to do. Because I don't ask you for nothing. Me personally, as pastor, I haven't preached one sermon from up there about giving. But do we struggle financially at Common Ground sometimes? Yeah, we do. Sometimes it gets tough. Why is that? Many people don't tithe. The percentage of people that tithe in church would just scare the britches off of you if you really heard it. It's just a handful, a quarter. And usually the people who are tithing are the people who are doing all the work too. That's ironic, isn't it? Not only are they giving God what is due to him, but they're also the ones that are on the ground, the first one to grab and open a door or do something for the Lord. Sweep the floor, put out the garbage. You know, it strikes me as funny. That's just it. They are the ones that get the joy and the blessing from what they're doing. They get a charge out of serving God. The rewards. And nobody knows it but them. You wonder sometimes when you see those people and they're the ones that's doing all the work and they're smiling and they're happy and they're doing all the things that nobody else wants to do, and you wonder, what have they got to be smiling about? They're taking the trash out, for crying out loud. They're taking it home. It's because God's given them something that nobody else is getting, that's not doing the same thing that they're doing. Does that sound right? I'm going to let y'all go early because we went so far last time. I felt so guilty. I felt so ashamed for keeping y'all 30 minutes late. When half of you were going to sleep and nodding and snoring. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, I know it. That's why I was kidding. I wouldn't know about that. I don't snore myself. I could vibrate the walls, I guess. Yes, I do. Oh, that's bad. That's just not right, is it? No, Mike, that's not right. Does God honor that? No. That kind of talk. I didn't say. Oh, man, that is bad. That's bad. Yeah. Any last comments or questions about tithing or giving? No more about snoring. We got that one covered. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being able just to have a good time being in your house, Lord, to be able to laugh and share stories, Father, and just hear your word, Father, as it speaks to our hearts, it enlightens us, it inspires us, it gets us ready, Father, to do what you have us to do each and every day. When we start off the day with you, Lord, the day just goes so much better. if we're faithful to give what is belongs to you, Father, in the way of our tithe and our giving, Father, you are faithful, always faithful to bless with an abundance of blessings, and we thank you for that. Even if you didn't do that, Lord, if you didn't bless us, we should still tithe because that's a command. And we just thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the day. Just ask you to put a protective hedge around everyone here tonight, Lord, as they get home safely during the storm. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.